Thank you, Lord. If you didn't know, the title of my message is The Gospel of Christ. If you didn't get that yet, now you know. We did send out an outline, so hopefully you were able to look that over. And it looks like it's 11:45, and usually we're done a little after 12, but we're not going to be today. God interrupted our service to bring healing and restoration, not for us to cut out the teaching of his word. So hallelujah, someone say amen. Amen. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this message, Lord, as it goes forth, Lord. Plant the seeds that you have for us, eternal seeds in your word, into our hearts and souls. And continue, Lord, to give us revelation and understanding of what you are saying to the church right now here in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week I taught on Pentecost and the importance of that event when the church was born. And it is the church's responsibility to share the good news to the world. And therefore, it's important that believers understand the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And so our text this morning is in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. And if you'd like to, you can read it with me. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greeks. So my subject this morning is very simply the gospel of Christ. And what is the gospel of Christ that Paul refers to in this passage? Well, number one, it's good news. It's good news. The Greek word is translated from gospel is euangelion, and we get our English words evangelize, evangel, evangelic from this word. And it's a combination of two words, the eu, which means good, and angelos, which means messenger. And that word is translated in the English language as angel. And angels primarily function as messengers. So the gospel is a good message. It's a declaration of good news. And why is that so important? Well, because Satan has convinced a lot of people that it's really bad news. If the world really thought the gospel is good news, they would fill churches every time we're open. They would be knocking down doors to get in. They would be tearing off the roof like they did in Mark chapter 2 when the men took the roof off the house so they could lower their friend, their sick friend, in front of Jesus so he could heal them. But you see, the God of this world has blinded them from being able to understand the truth. The scripture says that he has blinded their minds. He's blinded the minds, and they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So instead, people have been convinced by the devil that our message, this biblical message, is bad news. And if you haven't noticed, it's being targeted more and more. Christian beliefs, biblical beliefs, are being targeted more and more because it stops their good time. Because they think it restricts and reduces their pleasure. It binds them up with rules and regulations they don't want. So there is this upfront prejudice against the gospel message because many people have preconceived ideas. And then the devil, on top of that, is taking advantage of religious teaching that simply gave people rules and regulations, which limited them from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and kept them from accepting. Gabe talked about it this morning, accepting that salvation is by grace. It's not by the works that they have done. You can't be proud because you did so many works that you got saved. No, we humbly come before the throne of God. And in Galatians, it talks about a different gospel that perverts the gospel of Christ. So if you'd like to read it with me, you can. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you and then what you have received, let him be accursed. Now that's pretty strong. Twice it is said in that scripture, if you are preaching a different gospel other than the gospel of Christ, you are cursed by God. And you're pulling people down with you. The gospel of Christ is good news. And why is it good news? Because it brings lasting answers to all your problems. It delivers you from the bondage of sin, which will ultimately destroy you. It sets you on a course that is for your highest good. It provides all the things, Jesus said, I'll provide all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it transforms your wants and desires so that they line up with God and his created purpose for your life. And it turns you from a pathway of self-destruction to a pathway of eternal life, joy, and peace. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. That's the good news that the world needs. But they are bucking up against the word of God because in their minds it will restrict them from doing the things that they want to do. But what people don't realize is, yes, God has boundaries. Yes, God has set limitations because he loves us. The boundaries are there to protect us. They are not set there to hurt us or harm us or keep us from enjoying life. But you'll find that when you serve the Lord, there is so much joy in your life. And when you, the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. You choose a hard life when you choose to have Satan as your taskmaster. Because the scripture clearly tells us we cannot serve two masters. Either we're serving Satan or we're serving God. And so you have to choose. Choose this day. Every day we choose. Which path are we going to take? Because the enemy is always there to open up something for us. In John 10:10 it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus characterizes the devil as a thief. He is there to steal from you. And he is there to destroy you. That is his intent. And so when Jesus Christ came into the earth, his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. And so you see, he hates us. He hates us. He hates Christians. Because we stand with God, and God has already defeated him. You know, we've got to look at him like you're a defeated foe. And you know what? I might have fell for that once before, but I'm not falling for that again. Amen? Amen. So let's go on. The gospel is the good news about Jesus. Paul opens up 1 Corinthians 15 with these words. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. And then he gives a condensed form of the message in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. He says, for I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are absolutely essential to the gospel. Because without that, there is no good news. And when so-called Christians abandon those truths, they are no longer Christians in the biblical sense. They may still call themselves Christians, but their message is no longer the gospel of Christ. Their message is a lie because they've departed from the truth. And so anytime a Christian denies the reality of Jesus' death on the cross for atonement of sin, and if he denies the bodily resurrection of Jesus, then he has denied the faith. And the gospel message seems to continue to get watered down. It isn't a pick and choose smorgasbord. It's very clear that we must believe. You know, in 1 Timothy 4:1, we were warned that some will depart from the faith. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, it says, there will come a falling away or an apostasy. And I don't know what pressures will cause this to happen. The Timothy message talks about seducing spirits. It talks about doctrines of devils. There are already social pressures in America to compromise these truths. And it's rapidly becoming politically incorrect to stand for biblical standards. If the culture continues on its current course, it will become harder and harder and more costly to share the gospel of the kingdom. We see that spirit of death and murder that is even coming against our Supreme Court justices because they stand for a truth that life is from God. And so we see that there was someone that was going to try and assassinate Judge Kavanaugh and murder him because of that. You see, it's a spirit of murder. It's a spirit of murder that's been released. When you see a spirit of murder, who came to kill? Satan. You got to recognize demons are manifesting in the streets. They are manifesting against the word and the principles of God. And anyone who stands for them, they will try and take them out. They'll be censored. So you see, we need to be more and more anchored in our faith. We'll have to be more firm in our commitment to the Lord as these tides of public opinion turn against us. The result will be that some will turn away from the faith because of fear. They'll turn away from the faith. And you know they've tried to get us quiet. We've been pretty much trained to be quiet and not interfere in situations. You know, really. It's just silent indoctrination that goes on. And so we need to be aware that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what the world needs today. It's what is needed in every situation to seek God first, to seek his principles first, apply them, and then continue. I just read an article this week. And Christians are being identified as white Christian nationalists who believe that America should be based upon Christian foundations. And the article's on Google. You can Google it. It's in Wikipedia. And they are really coming against anyone who stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the values that are in the Bible. They're saying we're just not accepting what is now with all of the different nationalities coming in. And, you know, they call America a melting pot. But America needs to be on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's the foundation upon which it was established. And that is why it is a great nation. And you see the enemy is working constantly to destroy it and anyone who stands for that truth. Lord, help us. You cannot, and this was the main thing the Lord told me, you cannot walk down the middle of the road anymore. You have got to be on one side or the other. We've got to make it clear that Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today. And not back down when we're pushed against. Lord, help us. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14 is a scripture that the Lord gave us when we planted the church, as we began to establish the church. And it says this. I don't think it's on the PowerPoint, but I just wanted to read it quickly. He said, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire." And child sacrifice was very prevalent in the Old Testament times. And there is no child sacrifice. Or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Do you hear that? If you partake in any of these things, you are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. When we established our church downtown Elkhart, it had been consumed by the occult. It had been consumed. Stores everywhere, Satan worshipers walking up and down the street. It was consumed and it was dominating. Buildings were falling apart. The storefronts were horrible looking. And so God sent us into that territory, but he said, you cannot be connected with any of these things. And so it's important as a member of our congregation, disconnect from any of those things. Repent for it. You don't need it. Don't read your horoscope. Don't go to a fortune teller. You don't need it. You have God Almighty who knows the plan and the purpose for your life and for your family's life. Jesus, help us. He said, "You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will depossess," in other words, drive out, "they listened to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you." So as we move forward, knowing God has not asked us to do anything that is impossible, but we see the culture, Disney World is one that is full of the occult and witchcraft. There are areas and movies that you do not want to be a part of. Don't hook your spirit in with that spirit. Now, if God sends you in to evangelize, that's another thing. But I would just guess that you'd be shut down very quickly if you're talking about the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is what they are afraid of. In short order, we could find ourselves facing situations like the early church faced. And do you remember when Peter and John, they were going to the temple to pray, and they healed the lame man? Do you remember? He had been lame since birth. And they healed the lame man. And it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that man was healed. And when the crowd gathered, Peter began to preach Jesus as his explanation of what happened. You know, healings today, it's Jesus. It's not any one of us. It's Jesus Christ is in our midst. We are his living stones. We're lively stones. And when we come together, he begins to build us together. And we prepare him a spiritual habitation. And Jesus comes. I believe that. He is here this morning. But in Acts 4, 1 and 2, it says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." You see, these people were manifesting. They were greatly disturbed, not a little disturbed. They were really upset that Jesus Christ was being preached. You know, these rulers, listen to this, they were okay with Peter and John going to the temple to pray. It was okay. They weren't disrupting that. They could go into the church and they could pray with the other people. But don't you dare do a miracle out in the street. Don't preach Jesus in the street. We could find ourselves in the same situation in America. What they were upset about was the name of Jesus. And what upset them was the gospel, the good news of resurrection through Jesus. You see, when Jesus moves, man does not have any control. You got to let go of that control. You know, every ruler that has come against Jesus Christ and come against the people of God is because they cannot control them. They cannot control them. We are controlled by the Lord God Almighty and His Spirit and His Word, and that is who we look to. We're not looking to them. We're from a different kingdom. Hallelujah. And when you don't comply, they get upset. They get greatly disturbed and they start manifesting. We see them manifesting everywhere. Lord, help us. So then they arrested Peter and John, and they brought them to trial. And when asked by what authority they did these things, Peter answered, and it's up there, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved." And that is one truth we had better know by heart. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The only name is Jesus. And the world hates that statement. They hate it. They label it as exclusive, intolerant, and bigoted. They want to say there's many paths to heaven. Everybody's a good person. No, they're not. No, they're not. There's none good but God. The only goodness that is in us comes from God. Lord, help us. God has only provided one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. So you see, the gospel of Christ draws a very clear line. Do you think that God would have sent his only begotten son to suffer and die on a cross for our salvation if there was any other way? Do you think he would have allowed his son to be spit on and mocked and nailed to a cross if the wisdom of Buddha could have gotten it done? Or reading the Quran would bring salvation? The scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So, you know, I love Peter because he didn't try to appease his accusers. Neither did he try to finesse his way around their question. The scripture says the priests and the Sadducees, they were greatly disturbed because he preached the resurrection from the dead. And when they asked him by what authority he did it, he just simply said, by Jesus. By Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer that we will never compromise. And that has got to be rooted deep on the inside of us, rooted deep on the inside of your children, rooted deep that we will not compromise Jesus Christ. Jesus is the essence of the gospel. The good news is that he died for our sins and rose from the grave for our justification. We have a few more scriptures. Acts 4:17 through 19 says this. But so that it spreads no further among the people, this is what the rulers decided to do. Let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in his name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. In other words, we're not going to do it. They didn't come right out and say we're not going to do it. But they came out right out and said, you know, you're not that important. That you can keep us quiet and keep us from preaching Jesus. In Acts 5:29, the scripture says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. If you're in that situation, you obey God rather than man. Amen? Paul said in our text, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you know, the devil wants to make us ashamed of this message. He wants to intimidate us to keep us from sharing good news. Have you ever felt that way when you know you should be sharing something about Jesus with someone? You get all jittery and you're thinking, oh, they're going to reject this. They're not going to accept this. And I don't know if I should do this. Has anyone ever felt that, or am I the only one? And that's because the devil intends to shut us up and keep us quiet about Jesus. He doesn't want us to talk about that. But it's like, what do we have to lose if they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ? And think about what they have to gain if they accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about us. We have to remember it's about Jesus. And then I've heard the phrase, and my dad used to say it a lot, never talk about politics and religion. Well, if you don't talk about politics or religion, then that just leaves you the weather and the ball game. And you know what? Eternal life conversations are not going to be taken from talking about the weather and the ball game. So we better find some Holy Ghost boldness for these days ahead, because it may get real, real unpopular to proclaim Jesus. And if we leave him out, there's no good news for anybody. Somebody say amen. Amen. Number three, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation. Because when the true gospel is preached, the power of God is released in honor of what Jesus has done. The Holy Spirit bears witness to Jesus. He's not here to build monuments to men. He has not come to build denominations or religious institutions. He has been sent by the Father to reveal Christ and his kingdom. Today, the kingdom of God is manifested in our midst. Hallelujah. So the gospel is an announcement of the kingdom of God. Matthew 9:35 says, then Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And if you notice the term, the gospel of the kingdom, what does that mean? Well, a kingdom is the king's domain. It is his realm of rulership and authority. So when we talk about the kingdom of God and the gospel of the kingdom, we're talking about the king having the preeminent domain in that realm. It's his rulership. It's what his word says. That's why we encourage you, study the word, know the word, pray the word, speak the word, because it is what the king is saying. And when you begin to say what the king is saying, you're coming into agreement and establishing the kingdom of God right in your life, right in your situation. He has the rulership and the authority. So the gospel of the kingdom is the good news that God has come down among men. And God is answering, and he's asserting his rulership and his authority in the earth for our benefit. We believe that. Do you believe that? Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The church are the connectors of heaven and earth as we began to allow Jesus Christ to manifest through us and to release his word, his prophetic word, the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. These are precious times that we have together, church. They are precious moments that we have in the presence of the Lord. You know, God is not just sitting on a throne somewhere in a distant heaven just watching us. No, he is right here. He has come. He has stepped into humanity. He has sent his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go away so I can send the Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. The kingdom of God is right here. Matthew 3:2 says, repent. This is what John the Baptist was saying. He was saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the rule of God has come. It is right here, right now. It's at hand. John the Baptist saw it coming. Matthew 4:17 says that when Jesus began to preach, his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you see how important repentance is with the gospel of Christ. We repent. We repent of our sins. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone needs to repent. So what does the rule of God look like? Well, once again, Matthew 9:35 links it to healing and deliverance. We read that passage before. So the gospel is good news because it declares the rule of God that supersedes oppressive rule of the devil. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. You know, he tries to yoke sickness and diseases upon us. He tries to yoke depression and worry and panic on us. But God says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Learn about me, because my yoke is easy. The yoke of the Lord is easy. To serve the Lord Jesus Christ is not a hard thing. Don't say that. If you have said it's so hard to be a Christian, you need to repent. You need to repent. God has given us all the help and encouragement that we need. Ha! He's right there with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bishop Hammond, in his book, The Third Church Reformation, Great Awakening, he said, he's talking about the saints movement and the importance of every believer. And I thought that was on a PowerPoint slide. Every believer has the ability to manifest the supernatural in a miraculous way. And every saint is called to demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. God intervening in the affairs of man. You are called to minister that wherever you go in the marketplace. And in addition to the gospel of salvation in their sphere of influence. You see, Bishop for 10 years prayed about the saints movement. And in 2008, he wrote the book. And so he was so far ahead. You hear more and more about Christians doing ministry out in the marketplace and out in the highways and byways. You see, the devil hates that. He hates that. And so we want to do it more, right? If the devil hates it, then we want to do it more, right? Yeah. But he talked about the importance of being a minister in the marketplace. And he said the more the kingdom of God, the revelation and understanding comes to the church of the authority that we have, we will see more and more miracles take place out in the marketplace. And when we did Love in Action for over 10 years, and we were out in the streets, and we had street teams that went out on Friday nights, and we were out in the streets, we saw so many miracles because God's out in the street. So when you're out in the highways and byways, it's the perfect opportunity to partner with Jesus Christ and just let him flow through you and be Jesus through you and release the kingdom of God into a weary heart soul. Come on, there are weary people out there. They need a word of encouragement from you. Tell your neighbor they need to hear it from you. Hallelujah. So this great salvation that we have, it includes justification by faith. It includes the process and work of the Spirit in our sanctification, and ultimately it will consummate in our glorification. And I was sure there was a slide for that too. So we're going to go on to Romans 8:16-19. And the scripture says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory which would be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Hallelujah. There's a lot of groaning and moaning going on in this old world. Even creation itself is in turmoil, waiting for that day that God completes his plan of salvation. One day this whole earth will be renovated with fire, and God will purge it from every evil. And someday we're all going to receive a glorified body. Amen? And it will shine with an awesome brightness, because it'll be saturated with the glory of God. And the sufferings of this present time, you know, they're nothing to compare to the glory God is working in you. When you receive salvation, there is a seed of salvation that is planted on the inside of you. And God continues to work that, continues to grow us, to mature us. And that's why we're connected to the body, connected to a church, so we can grow. We encourage each other. That's why we're here. To grow together, to become mature. The scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we work out what God's worked in. You see, God worked in a seed of salvation in you. And you got to work it out. Did y'all notice that your children didn't mature overnight? Well, I'm telling you, Christians don't either. They're born again into the kingdom of God, into the body of Christ, and they're babies. You always know what stage a person's at spiritually by what they say. Hallelujah. And that's okay, because you know how to help them, right? Right. You know how to help them, because we're here to help each other mature and grow. You know, it's exciting to watch your children grow and mature and to learn things. But what is even more exciting is when God's people grow up. Amen. Amen. That's what God is waiting for that time. So we're going to go back down to our final closing scripture, which is Titus 2:13. And it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Are you looking for that blessed hope and his glorious appearing? Because there is coming a day where there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more struggles. You won't be repenting for your sins and asking God to forgive you, because you will have your born again, new body in a new place with the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Thank you, Lord. What a day that'll be. Hallelujah. So in closing, in conclusion, if you have not believed for the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, today is the day to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to confess before Him that you believe He is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for your sins, and that He was buried and rose again. And the scripture says, when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and died on the cross and was buried and rose again, you will be saved. You will be saved. Salvation comes into your heart at that moment. So, Father, if there's anyone listening today who has not done that, Lord, but knows that you are the Son of God and believes in the finished work of the cross, and that you have resurrected, and that resurrection life can come into them right now in Jesus' name as they confess themselves, Lord, wherever they're at. Father, we thank you, Lord, for great salvation in Jesus' name. And if there's anyone listening who's already been saved that's feeling condemned this morning, the scripture says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, you need to just let that go. You may have missed the mark, but you know what? When we ask the Lord to forgive us, He forgives us of our sins. We trust in the finished work of the cross, not in what we've done. And so, see, we get caught up in what we did, and we forget about the miraculous work that Jesus did on the cross for us. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. So, Father, we thank you this morning, Father, that we are saved by grace, and that we know that we all come short of the glory of God. And so, Father, we just ask you right now, Lord, to forgive us of our sins, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you reassure those who need the reassurance of your love and favor because of what Jesus did for us. Thank you for our great salvation that you brought to each one of us in Jesus' name. And so today in closing, we're just going to not sing our closing song because it's 12:30. But there is one more scripture that I did want to share together. And that is, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Romans 1:16. Let's all stand this morning. I ask you to put on some music. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing right now. Lord, in our hearts, Lord, thank you, Father, for this group that came together today to worship you. Thank you, Lord, that you're in our midst, Lord. And as we go today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we go in the favor of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, God, as you prepare the way for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for family and friends and for everything that's on our agenda this week, Lord. You know, Lord God, what lies ahead of us. So, Lord, we rest in you and trust you, Lord, to lead us. Lead us and guide us, Lord. And keep your hand of protection and your angels round about us, O God. And, Lord, we stand with our brothers and sisters, that we stand strong together to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we proclaim the name of Jesus that is above every name, Lord. And thank you, Father, for this time that we've had together this morning. Bless the people of God. Bless the saints of God. Bless them, Lord, abundantly. Bless their families. And Lord, they left behind some things this morning to come. Lord, bless the things, Lord, they left behind. And especially, Lord, keep your hand upon them, Lord, and take care of of the things that concern them, Lord, as they dedicated this time this morning to come into the house of God. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen, amen. If you need prayer this morning, we're just going to ask the elders if they would come forward. And Elder Sylvia will be over here with the prophetic team. If you came for a personal word this morning, we love and appreciate you. Shake someone's hand. God bless you. And please join us again. Next week is Father's Day. We have a guest speaker. Pastor David Harris will be with us. God bless you.